Welcome to the world today. My name is Frank Weltner. I am the librarian for JewWatch, the largest compendium of information about Jewish organizations and news on the internet today. In addition, I am the librarian and archivist for a new website, www.americanussr.com, which is already the largest compendium of history concerning the negative aspects of the United States of America, which the CIA, FBI, the presidency, the Congress, and all other agencies of the United States want you to know nothing about. Today's date is December the 20th, 2010, and these are the stories that we're going to discuss. The FCC is making some rather crazy moves on the internet. They're threatening freedom here on this web where I broadcast. Net neutrality may sound nice, but in my opinion, the web is working fine right now. People are able to get on the web. We're able to have radio shows, TV shows, do whatever we want to do. But the FCC wants to put in new rules which might inhibit investment and deter innovation and create a billable hours bonanza for lawyers. The Federal Communications Commission will mark the winter solstice this year by making an unprecedented step to expand government's reach into the free internet by attempting to regulate its inner workings. In doing so, the agency will circumvent Congress and disregard a recent court ruling. For years, proponents of so-called net neutrality have been calling for strong regulation of broadband on-ramps to the internet like those provided by your local cable or phone companies. Rules are needed, the argument goes, to ensure that the internet remains open and free and to discourage broadband providers from thwarting consumer demand. That sounds good if you say it fast, but nothing is broken and needs fixing. The internet's been open and freedom-enhancing since it was spun off from a government research project in the early 1990s. So why, then, would the federal government be looking to change things? Well, it seems that in America there's a longing for fascism, for control, for a kind of Soviet Union-type control over the media. The folks in Washington, where the freak show happens every day, they don't want us to have radio shows and TV shows. They don't want us to be on YouTube. I've been kicked off of YouTube so much I can't even see straight. All because of people like the ADL and Israel and persons who just stand against freedom of speech, per se. Just a way that they do business. Now, the rich and the powerful have been running the newspapers and radio and television. They've had a monopoly on our minds. Basically, when you buy a radio station, you're buying an audience. I don't know if you realize that, but when you buy a radio station, you're definitely buying an audience. And these audiences are worth a lot of money. You're an audience. I'm an audience. All of us are audiences. And the internet providers want to be able to stop people from interacting on the internet right where you connect to the internet. They would like to be able to manage the amount of bandwidth that comes to your computer so that if things are getting too busy, they can slow you down. But I think you'd realize from being on the internet that when you slow down, your freedom to investigate things is hampered. Every time that you lose a meg in your speed, you have to wait longer and longer for everything to load. And when you wait for things to load, it means you're being deprived of your freedom of speech, your freedom to investigate, your freedom to research, to study, and to know things. So why in the world would we want to allow these internet providers to do this to us? I certainly don't want it, and I don't think that you want it either. But the internet providers see a bonanza where they can actually charge people for providing a faster internet service to their customers. So that if I'm broadcasting, they could tell me that, we'll get you there faster so that you don't back up and keep creating buffer signals to your customers if you pay us an extra $50 a month, let's say. Or maybe $10 for each program, or maybe 5 cents for each show that that people want to bring into their homes. Well, so pretty soon it gets prohibitive for a person like myself to broadcast. I broadcast because basically it's free. I do this out of a sense of responsibility to the people all over the world who want to hear what I have to say. And many people write me and say, I certainly hope that you'll continue to broadcast because I listen to you every day and I don't miss a word of what you say. So, to threaten internet freedom for people like myself and the thousands, tens of thousands of other broadcasters on the internet is to take away our freedom to speak, our freedom to publish, our freedom to have a radio station and a radio show right here on the internet where we can reach everybody. If you were to buy a radio station today, it would cost you probably anywhere from $100,000 to $1 million or more. But on the internet, you can do so for free. And you can have perfect audio. You can have CD quality or better at no cost. And it should remain that way. You know, years ago, AM radio used to be free. And you could put up a transmitter in your house and transmit to everybody in your city. And then in 1920, the usual pigs in New York decided they wanted to make money off of it. So they wanted to have it licensed for commercial radio stations. And so all the people who had transmitters in their homes had to turn them off. So that the pigs could have special rights to these frequencies. And so they created this industry known as broadcasting. But we had broadcasting before. People were doing it for free, just like they're doing it on the internet. And you have to ask yourself, what good did commercial radio ever do? I mean, it took away the rights of people who were broadcasting and giving their opinion to the American people right there in their own community and turned it over to mostly Zionists in New York and Judeo-Bolsheviks in New York who ran NBC and CBS and ABC and began to create national brands to advertise on their radio stations because they needed to make some money to keep it going. But the little guy who used to broadcast for free as a public service to people all over their cities were shut down, and their voices were basically cleansed from all the Americans who used to listen every day to what they had to say from their kitchens and from their garages and wherever else they had their little radio station in their home. They want to maybe do the same thing here on the internet. The powers that be would like to limit the number of radio stations here so that, let's say, if you can get it down to 20 radio stations on the internet, so that everybody will listen to just that 20, well, just think of the market they'd have. They'd have a monopoly that would be incredible. Whereas today, there's so many people talking that it's like a huge bar of voices. You know, like barbarism, where everybody's voice sounds like bar. All these strangers that you don't know are voicing their opinion and enjoying their freedoms, and some people want to stop that. The very people who run these big newspapers and radio stations, FM stations, AM stations, TV stations, the movie people, they've had this monopoly for a long, long time, almost 100 years now, and they want to keep it. They've been in the power business of monopolizing audiences, and they want it to stay. They don't want you to be free. They don't want me to be free. They want to shut us down, folks. So what are we going to do? We have political leaders who want to shut us down, too. People like Lieberman. A lot of these are these Zionists who are in Congress. And these people who think that freedom of speech is is terrible, like the ADL. Now, it enjoys its own freedom of speech. It publishes things almost every day, and the newspapers pick it up and republish it, and it becomes a shouting crescendo of ADL material and propaganda that goes into everybody's ears all the time. But if I say something, well, the New York Times, since they're not my relatives like they are of the ADL, they won't publish my stuff. They don't care. They don't care about me. And that's exactly what the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center and all of these other federal operatives that spy for the FBI and the CIA and do dirty tricks for them, well, they'd like to do this dirty trick. Shut down the internet. Shut down people who have differing opinions from the government. That's precisely what they want to do. And you and I, as American citizens, as world citizens, need to stop these people from operating in this manner. We need to protect ourselves. We need to have our freedom on the internet. We need to keep it. And we need to tell our congressmen and the people at the FCC to back off and stop. That we want the internet to stay exactly the same as it is. Well, as you're probably aware, the price of gas is going above $3 a gallon, and the economy itself is beginning to implode again. As you would expect, since people who are spending $60 to fill their tanks can no longer go shopping, because what little money they had to spend is now being taken away from them by the bankers who have driven up the price of oil through their speculations. And as for these banks, regulators have shuttered another six banks that hold a total of $1.23 billion in assets, including three in Georgia and one each in Arkansas, Minnesota, and Florida, as real estate losses drive this year's bank failures to 157. And of course, you have to ask yourself, why do we have real estate losses? Probably the big reason we have real estate losses is that the banks will no longer loan any money on real estate. They say they're afraid to loan money on real estate. But you know, this fear of loaning money on real estate is driving the price of homes down. And it's causing the real estate market to be flat and then to decline even further. Nobody wants to buy a house because they know that if they go to the bank won't loan them any money anyway. So, I mean, who are we kidding that giving money to banks like trillions of dollars in TARP money to try to get the economy going again is going to do any good, because the bankers just don't care. They take the TARP money, which is what they've been doing. They take this money and they invest it in petroleum futures, driving the price of gasoline up, and you and I have to pay now $3 a gallon. Before, we were paying just a little bit over $2 a gallon, and soon it'll be $4 and then $5. And I don't know about you, but I really don't appreciate it, and I don't imagine you do either. I can't imagine you going to the gas pump and looking at the $8 you're spending to fill your tank and saying, wow, I really appreciate this. I'm going to go down to my bank and thank them for driving up the price of gasoline. I'm going to call Goldman Sachs and say, I really do appreciate the fact that you're spending so much money trying to invest in petroleum futures, and that I have $3 and $4 per gallon gas now because of what you've done. I love that. I want you to continue doing that. Well, obviously you're not going to continue. You're not going to call them and ask them to continue to screw you over on your gasoline prices. These people are actually, they're hurting you. Every time somebody speculates on petroleum and drives the price up that you have to pay, they're damaging you. And under the legal system, you should be able to sue them for whatever you've lost. I can just imagine a huge lawsuit covering 300 million Americans trying to get their money back for what they lost due to the speculations of banks artificially driving up the price of our gasoline. And under the law, if somebody damages somebody, they're they're liable for it. But these folks, these banks can do anything they want. They can participate in any fraud they want, and no one's going to bother them because they have huge lawyers. And so the FBI doesn't want to go against them, neither does the SEC. Florida has lost 29 lenders this year, while 21 banks in Georgia were seized. And that's according to the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Regulators have closed 322 banks since the start of 2008. Today's six closures cost the FDIC's Deposit Insurance Fund a total of $267.6 million, which is a pittance as compared to the TARP funds that were wasted. Absolute pittance. We're over the hump in terms of the number of failures and the average size and potentially in the cost of them, Bert Ely, a banking consultant in Alexandria, Virginia, said in an interview with the Wall Street Journal. The crisis is far from over, but we're making headway. Well, how could you be making headway if the crisis is far from over? We're making headway, but the crisis is far from over. Please, what double talk? Yeah, if it's far from over, how could you be making headway? Wait, would you shut down 322 banks? What should you have shut down? 10,000 banks, but you didn't? What's going on here? These failures may be the final closures for 2010 because basically the holiday weekends are coming up. So, with the next two Fridays being Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, it's going to be rather difficult. More than 500 banks may fail before the cycle that started in 2007 comes to a close, given the severity of the problems and the prolonged nature of the recovery, Ely said. Well, let's forget that. Let's try. Thousands of banks may fail. Hmm? I mean, let's not look at these low figures and think that they're for real. The government is always lying about figures. They're always giving you low figures for the unemployment rate, low figures for the cost of doing business. They try to paint a picture that it's good to be investing in business and doing this and that so that people will hire these workers back. If they make things look too bad, then people won't want to invest in their businesses. They won't want to invest in their schools, and so the people will remain out of work, and then they won't have the money to buy anything, which will further implode the economy as things go down, down, and down further. The financial crisis, according to an article in the Wall Street Journal, drove down home and commercial property values and pushed the unemployment rate to above 10%. Well, you have to ask yourself, why did these banks loan all this money on real estate? Now, they must have known that something bad was going to happen. Could it be that they make money when they foreclose on a house? And the answer is yes, they do. They get a certain amount of fees when they foreclose on a house that's guaranteed to them, and they can make more money foreclosing in many cases than they can in trying to help somebody keep their home. And that's one of the things wrong with the system. It's for the fat cats, it's for the pig in New York that owns a bank, or a bunch of banks, to come down and kick you out of your house with your children in your arms out into the street. And I think it's terrible. And I know that you think it's terrible, but what are you going to do about it? We've all been taught that it's so wonderful to live in a capitalist country, that people who lead businesses and factories, we try to think of them as good people. I mean, we're really crazy. We're a really crazy people when you think about it. We allow hospitals and doctors to charge whatever they want. I mean, how stupid can we be? No wonder it costs a fortune. You know, they charge $80,000 sometimes to have a quadruple bypass done, where they just rip a piece of a vein or artery out of your leg, and then they sew it to your heart real rapidly, In about 7 hours, it's over with, and they get $80,000 for this. Especially if you don't have an insurance, they want the full price then. But the insurance companies won't pay it. The federal government won't pay it. I understand the federal government, according to an article I read several years ago, will only pay $1,700 to a surgeon for doing a quadruple heart bypass. $1,500, but somehow you get charged $30,000 to $80,000 for that, because you're being had by these capitalists that own the hospitals, that want to make money off of you, and they don't care about you. Why is it that you get had every time you do something? These capitalists will have their way with you, and you keep going back to them and looking at them like they're going to help you. What's wrong with you folks? Are you a little slow? I mean, don't you ever put two and two together and realize that these pigs just want to make a big profit, and you're the stuffed hog that they're going to slaughter when you come into their store door, whether it's a hospital or a doctor's lounge or whether it's a department store that's used to buying shirts in China for $2 and selling them for $80 to you with a nice little picture of a soccer player on it that's done with a couple pieces of thread on the shirt, and they make a fortune off of you because they know that you'll pay it, because it makes you feel good to buy something expensive. It makes you feel like, I can prove that I can have one of those shirts, so I'm going to buy one of them. And there you go. Your money goes right down the tube into this capitalist bank account, and you're out $80. And the guy that sold you the shirt only paid $2 for it. Now, who's the dumb one, him or you? Who's the one that's serving you? Is the capitalist serving you? I don't think so. We all have to do our best in these times of depression. We have to watch our money. Every penny has to count. And let me give you one of the ways that you can save some money, and that's to make sure when you take your car out to go shopping that you go to several stores at once. Instead of going to a store and going back home and then going to another one and going back home, figure out the easiest way to get to all of the stores at once in a straight line, straight as possible. So you go to store number one, do your shopping, get in your car, go on to the next one, go on to the next one, go on to the next one, shortest distance possible, and then come back home and you save all of that gasoline. And at $3 a gallon, this could add up. It may not add up for one series of trips, but when you consider that you might be avoiding 5 or 6 trips, you might be saving yourself $5, $10, $20, even $30. And if you have everything written down that you're going to want to purchase, then you don't run into the problem of going in and buying a whole bunch of things, trying to make sure that you bought the thing you really went there for when you can't really remember. So you need to make a list of what you're going to buy to begin with, because that's just good management of your time, of your money, and of your organizational capabilities. None of us are super smart when it comes to remembering everything. If you try to remember what you want at a store, you're going to go to the store, come back home and say, oh, I forgot 3 things, and go right on back. There goes the gasoline right there. So you don't really want to be doing that. You want to live a little more wisely during a depression, so that when gas is $3 a gallon, that you don't waste it. And when it gets up to 5, which we know it's going to go up there someday, we don't waste even more. You have to become a wise shopper. You have to become a wise consumer. Oh, and by the way, you don't want to be a consumer. We keep hearing this in the press. Oh, the consumer this and the consumer that. What do they mean by the consumer? It's the sucker that goes and buys something. And for years, Americans have been buying things as a kind of a rush for recreation. We'll go to the mall and we'll look at things, and if something interests us, we'll be seduced into buying it. We open the wallet, out goes the money. And pretty soon, we're in a bind because we have to reach for the credit card because the cash we have is gone. And then we have to start paying 5, 10, 15, 20, 30% on our credit card for something that we bought that we could have bought with cash if we just watched what we were doing. You got to start doing stuff like this, folks. You got to be a little bit smarter with your money, or you're not going to have any. The Washington Post reported Monday that the government is using the FBI, local police, state homeland security offices, and military criminal investigators to snoop on domestic American business. The system collects, stores, and analyzes information about thousands of U.S. citizens and residents, many of whom have not been accused of any wrongdoing. The government's goal is to have every state and local law enforcement agency in the country feed information to Washington to buttress the work of the FBI, which has conducted its own investigation. The government is creating a vast domestic spying network to collect information about Americans in the wake of the September 11, 2001 attacks and subsequent terror plots. Well, first of all, we haven't had a good investigation of the September 11, 2001 attacks. And these terror plots, if you're really worried about terror plots, Mr. Government Goon, why don't you close off the border to Mexico? Why do you let thousands of people every day walk across that border? See, we're on to you. You're not worried about terrorism. You got open borders with people you don't even know who they are coming across. You're just using us as your fool, and we're not going to put up with it. The government is using for this purpose the FBI, local police, state homeland security offices, and military criminal investigators. Now, this vast domestic snooping machine is looking at you right now. The system collects, stores, and analyzes information about thousands of U.S. citizens and residents, many of whom have not been accused of any wrongdoing. Well, you can include me and Alex Jones, and anybody else that's doing a domestic radio that doesn't like what the federal government's doing and is trying to push back the federal government from stepping on our rights to freedom of speech, freedom of expression, and freedom to continue our life in America the way that it had been before you guys decided to pull this 9/11 BS in New York, start wars in the Middle East, and destroy our economy, and stoke all of our trillions of dollars into these Judeo banking systems in New York so that the country's going broke because of them. The system collects, stores, and analyzes information about thousands of U.S. citizens and residents, many of whom have not been accused of any wrongdoing. Well, I've been accused of wrongdoing, but it had nothing to do with my terrorism, my so-called terrorism. They accused me of fraud, and they found out I hadn't committed any fraud. But they decided to go after me anyway because they thought they could get Jewwatch news off of the internet. Well, you were wrong, Mr. Chertoff, weren't you? You descendant of the Judeo-Bolsheviks of Russia, Mr. Chertoff, you and Mr. Mukasey, who's also related to them, your tribal ancestors in Russia, you scum. The government's goal is to have every state and local law enforcement agency in the country feed information to Washington to buttress the work of the FBI. Where's the terrorism, folks? I don't see any. I mean, we had a ship that was blown up out there by Abu Dhabi, out in the Persian Gulf. We shouldn't have the ship there anyway. We knew there was a possible problem. And we put it out there, and it got blown up. How about you talk about terrorism? How about the sinking of the USS Liberty? You know, what about that? What about the sinking of the USS Liberty? What about the Levant affair in which Egypt was trying to get Egyptian agents of its own to blow up American offices in Egypt so that we would start a war with Egypt. How about that kind of terrorism? No, you're looking at me with my radio show. You bunch of fascist Nazi pigs. Why don't you go back to your freak show in Washington, close your doors, and blow your brains out, you bunch of sick idiots. According to the report, this new network includes 4,058 federal, state, and local organizations, each with its own counterterrorism responsibilities and jurisdictions. Look at that, 4,058 agencies. Well, that's 80 per state. And for each large city in America, which there's approximately 100 large cities, you're looking at 405 agencies per city. Talk about a way to destroy and ruin a free country. This is it. Billions and billions and billions of dollars being spent for spying on our citizens. That's why I started AmericanUSSR.com, so that you would be able to follow the information on what's happening in America that resembles what happened in the Soviet Union when the Jews ran it into the ground as a communist regime, and they're running it into the ground here, America, using the same methods of spending billions of dollars to spy on our citizens. This is the new USSR. You are living in the USSR that's being created by the Zionists of New York, IPAC, Goldman Sachs, all of Wall Street, the scumbags who have driven the price of gasoline to $2, $3, $4, $5, $6 a gallon, depending on the year that you're listening to me. And doing it for nothing, just for profit, just to gamble on things using fake, phony paper money that comes out of the honey mill up there at the Federal Reserve. This probe, this fake terrorist probe, has revealed that technologies and techniques developed for use in the battlefields of Iraq and Afghanistan have now migrated into the hands of law enforcement agencies in the United States. And that's the way these things occur. You develop some crappy technology that you use against your enemy, and once you perfect it, then you focus it on your own citizens and put the screws on them. That's what you are. You're a bunch of thugs. You're putting the screws on American citizens using technologies that you developed for a war where you had tons of money to do so, with the full knowledge that as thugs and federal mafia people, you're going to come back here with these technologies and put the screws on the little American citizen who goes to work every day, or who runs a newspaper, or who has a radio show. Because you don't want to have anybody but your Judeo-Bolshevik brothers running the New York Times, the Washington Post, ABC, NBC. You want total control over the mind of the American people because you're basically thugs. You've always been thugs. You were thugs in the Soviet Union. You were thugs in the French Revolution. You were thugs everywhere you've been. You are just scum. In addition, the FBI is building a database with the names and personal information of thousands of U.S. citizens and residents. Well, you can bet that I'm in there. If not, I'm going to have my feelings hurt. All my friends will be in there, too. You know, I don't have regular scumbum friends who just go to the bar and talk. I have friends who are interested in politics. I have friends who read newspapers, who go to the library, which gives a database to these federal thugs of all the books they read, all the newspapers and magazines they read, everything they subscribe to, everything they do on the internet. These persons would like to have pictures in your bedroom while you're having sex with your wife. They want to photograph your bathroom while you're taking a shower. They want everything on you they can get their fingers on. In a bid to counter what is seen as a threat from radical Islam, can you believe this? How many times have you heard this word, radical Islam? Well, I mean, all, you know, remember when the 9/11, 6 months before 9/11, what did they show? Pictures of Osama bin Laden with that stupid telephone he had with the long antenna on it. They showed this stupid picture over and over again with the tent flaps flapping in the background, or against a rock in the desert. Here's Osama bin Laden. Look at this terrorist, this terrorist, that. They didn't tell you that this terrorist, this so-called fake terrorist that they were building for your image on these television sets, was a man that had been paid by the CIA to bring weapons to the Taliban in Afghanistan. They didn't tell you that the United States was behind him, that he was their own creation. And now they're going to use him in order to fake you out and think that radical Islam had destroyed these two buildings they needed to tear down anyway in New York. They didn't want you to know that, but they wanted you to think immediately, as soon as they came down, as soon as someone said it was terrorism, it was radical Islam, it was Osama bin Laden, they wanted you to say, oh yeah, I saw him on TV. Well, of course you did. They were pushing his fat little face up there for months before this happened, so they could manipulate you into jumping to the conclusion that radical Islam did this, when in fact it was the CIA. In a bid to counter what is seen as a threat from radical Islam, well, who sees this threat? Well, it's the ADL who's pushing all of this radicalism. That's who it is. Some law enforcement agencies have hired as trainers people whose extremist views on Islam and terrorism are considered inaccurate and counterproductive by U.S. intelligence agencies. And who would they be? Wouldn't they be the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center and all of the other propagandists in New York, in Wall Street, in Madison Avenue, where they're pumping out propaganda to make you think that the Arabs are your enemies, when in fact it's Zionism that's your enemy, it's banking that's your enemy, it's the Federal Reserve that's your enemy, that's made you go down to the mat for the dollar bill, which has become a piece of crap in their hands to toss at you like snot from a nose rag. You know what's going on here. You've seen it. And they keep writing these stories, pretending they don't know what's happening. These journalists know exactly what's happening. But they work for the Judeo-Bolshevik newspapers, and they can't tell you the truth. So you have to read between the lines. You have to listen to Frank Weltner explicate what these things really mean, because these stories are deceptions pawned off by the Judeo-Bolsheviks as they try to destroy your country and your freedom. The cost of the network is difficult to measure, but the Department of Homeland Security has given $31 billion in grants since 2003 to state and local governments for homeland security and to improve their ability to find and protect against terrorists. And what terrorists have they found? The lingerie bomber on Christmas Day, who was being denied access to an airplane, and then the federal agents told the personnel at the airfield, you're going to put that man on that airplane no matter what. We don't care, you know, what you know about him. He's going on that plane. Why? So that on Christmas Eve they could say, we found a terrorist. We captured a terrorist. Look at this. His lingerie, his underwear had a bomb in it. Well, what kind of an idiot? What kind of an idiot would put a bomb in his underwear that would burn his genitalia off? Where did they find this little loon, huh? Man, they must have looked through every insane asylum they could find before they selected him for this operation. And then you had these other people, these little black guys who were in Florida, New York, and Detroit, who they interested in going and getting bombs with the idea of maybe blowing them up. And they flew them all over the Caribbean, paid them lots of money, and they said, oh, we stopped this terrorist plot from these people. What terrorist plot? You made the plot up and gave it to them. That's what it was. You did it. There is no plot. There is no terrorism. You're a bunch of liars. You've got the border open to Mexico, 2,000 miles of it practically, from coast to coast, from the Pacific to the Caribbean, with people pouring across like water out of a broken dam, and you don't do anything about it, which proves that you don't believe there's a terrorist threat at all. Because if you did, you'd certainly close off that border, which you won't do. Because what you want to do is destroy the nation as we know it, to bring other people in here, to have a balkanized America so that the politicians can work one group of people, one race, one language, one religion off against the other, so that the people here in this country won't even know their head from their tail. We know what you're doing. You think you're so clever. You think you're so smart. But we know who you are. We know what you're doing. We know you're the Judeo-Bolsheviks. We know that you have ingress into the federal government with all the vast sums of money you've pulled out of the Federal Reserve System, which goes only to you for free, and to us, if we want any of it, you charge us interest. We know who you are, you thugs, you scumbags, you Bolsheviks who ran the Soviet Union, and you're now turning America into a Soviet Union. We know who you are, and we're going to stop you. How many of you sitting there and listening to me have over the past few years found that all of your plans for retirement have been utterly destroyed, and were destroyed from the very beginning, that your plans were based on lies that were given to you by your company, who put money into your 401k. You'd pay them 50%, and then they'd put 100% by doubling that into your 401k in stocks that came from your own company. But the trick was that you couldn't sell those stocks. So what your company got was 50% of the money they could get for their stocks. They didn't pay a dime for the stocks. They simply printed them on a printing press. And they put them in a little box for you so that when you retired, you would have that. But they knew full well that by the time you retired, there would be millions of you retiring with 401ks. And the first thing you'd do is to start to sell your 401k stocks that they gave you for nothing. In fact, it wasn't even nothing. You paid them 50%. You paid them 50% for stocks that they knew were eventually going to be worthless and that they never paid anything for. So if you purchased 10% of your money in stocks, that means that you gave 5% and you get 10% back. Let's say you're earning $100,000. You paid $5,000 and they gave you pieces of paper in a box. Now that you're getting ready to retire and all your friends are retiring and you're in the baby boom, so guess what? You and all your friends are selling your stocks all at once. So what happened in 2008? The stock market collapsed. Your stocks collapsed. Those of you that worked for General Motors, Chrysler, Ford, General Electric found that your stocks were worthless. Your 401k accounts weren't worth a dime. Well, what did you expect? That the capitalism was going to be good to you? That these pigs that run the financial system, that run all of these crazy companies like General Motors, that always put out a faulty automotive product, that they weren't going to give you a faulty 401k? You thought that it was going to be on the up and up, did you? And you found that you were wrong, like everyone else. Now you're retiring with very, very little money, and you're selling off your stocks along with tens of millions of people every day, and the stocks are going down, and you're just in a terrible piece of retirement shape. But it was planned that way by the big guys, by the thugs. By the thugs in these huge hedge companies like Goldman Sachs, they planned this. They knew that they weren't going to pay you back. They put the money into their pockets that you paid for these stocks, and now you're probably receiving next to nothing for them. I mean, how much can you get for General Motors stock? Nothing. How about Chrysler? Nothing. They're down. They're down because you're retiring along with everybody else and you're all selling the stock at the same time. And guess what? The pig that you worked for knew that was going to happen. That's why he made you hold the stock until you retired. That's why you put it in a 401k. You had to be 55 or 65 before you could move the stock out. And when everybody reached that age at the same time, the stock started to fall. Why? Because you're all trying to sell it at the same time. And there weren't any people there that wanted to buy it and bid it up, so he had to take a loss on it. Well, stupid is as stupid does. You know, you made a big mistake. Anyway, this Novell or one of these companies, trusted Bill Gates on some contract, and he destroyed the company. He destroyed them. They both could have made money on this, but Gates decided to destroy them instead. And they said, "Why did you do that? We both were going to make money." And he said, "Well, you made one mistake. You trusted me." That's what Bill Gates said. "You trusted me." And this was in a PBS, a Nova-type thing on the invention of the Internet and who was responsible and how it went. "You trusted me." You see, you trusted the capitalist pig that hired you to work for them for 50 years so that you could retire with your 401k. Well, at least for 50 years, you had a nice fantasy there, didn't you? You believed in your fantasy that you were going to have a wonderful retirement. You're going to be cruising up and down the Caribbean and in the Mediterranean, stopping at ports of call where there were interesting museums and restaurants and such. And now you can't do that. Now you have to stay at home. You have to shop for chicken because it's only 88 cents a pound. And beef is $6, $7, $8 a pound. You can't afford it, can you? No, you can't. And it's because you trusted capitalism and you worshipped everything that capitalism stood for, because your Judeo-Bolshevik newspapers run by the same people that ran the Soviet Union were lying to you and told you that you were better than Russians, that you had capitalism and the Soviet Union had communism and you were better and that you were going to prosper. But what they didn't tell you was that communism and capitalism were the same thing. They were both based on capital and greed, and that the little guy was going to get screwed by everybody on top. Well, it's just tough toenail, isn't it? Well, you think you've got it rough. Take a look at Europe. Right now, France is risking losing its top AAA grade as a borrower as Europe's debt crisis prompts a wave of downgrades that threatens to engulf the region's highest-rated borrowers, with Belgium also facing a possible cut. Moody's Investor Service said December 15th it may lower Spain's rating, citing substantial funding requirements. In other words, they can't pay their loans, and slashed Ireland's rating by 5 levels on December 17th. This was Ireland that was, this was the mecca of capitalism, of the new capitalism, Ireland, and now its ratings are slashed by 5 levels. Standard & Poor's is reviewing its assessments of Ireland, Portugal, and Greece. Costs to insure French government debt rose to a record as the country's credit default swaps more expensive than lower-rated securities from the Czech Republic and Chile. "Every sovereign may get penalized in the year ahead," said Toby Nangle, who helps oversee $46 billion as Director of Asset Allocation at Baring Asset Management in London. "It would be a big deal if France was to have its AAA rating stripped. I don't think the likelihood of a downgrade is reflected in the market," which means the market would crash if this happens, which it looks like it may. European Union leaders agreed last week to amend the bloc's treaties to create a permanent debt crisis mechanism in 2013 in an effort to stem contagion that started more than a year ago in Greece. Government bond yields climbed across the region. In other words, interest rates. Government bond yields climbed across the region, even after Greece and Ireland were rescued, and a backstop facility worth about $1 trillion was created. How many of these $1 trillion backstops are they going to create for these bankers? Why don't they tell the bankers, these thugs, these mafia leaders who run the banks, to go stick their head in a toilet and flush it? Why are you pouring money at these people? These people aren't going to do anything for you. They're not going to give you money for your home so that it won't be foreclosed on. They're going to foreclose on it because they get a few pennies more for every foreclosure. And you're just in it for money. They don't care about you. And your government leaders up there they're up there right now licking the faces of these bankers, which they do every day of the week, selling you out. I tell you, it just amazes me that you still stand up and salute Washington, D.C., and that you're willing to die for that freak show, and you're willing to send your sons and daughters to war for the freak show that's licking the faces of the people who are making the money from the war, who are up in New York, and who are in Jerusalem. You want to pay these people all the money you can, even though they've screwed you out of your retirement and out of everything else that they've ever promised you, and they're going to continue to do so. If problems in the Eurozone aren't solved quickly, then the conditions of refinancing will be expensive for these European countries, and the ratings agencies will do more downgrades, said Ralph Ahrens, who helps manage about $20 billion as head of fixed income at Frankfurt Trust. We already see these dynamics in the market. I see France as a risk. Well, of course it's a risk. I mean, the frogs are always a risk. They've been trying to support their empire in Africa and in the South Pacific for years, wasting money on it, going crazy trying to keep that little hegemony bet that they've had going for the past 200 or 300 years. Same as the United States, fighting the stupid war in Iraq and Afghanistan for the Israelis, who don't love anybody but themselves. The Israelis who started the Soviet Union and killed 65 million Christians. And these are your friends? These are the best you can get? The people that started the French Revolution and cut off the heads of all the monarchs because Jewish people couldn't be a monarch? And so they wanted to get rid of the whole batch of nobles so they would be the same as the Jewish people and not have anything over them? This is what you want? You want to destroy your entire civilizations of kings and queens and then say that the nobles were evil, stupid people when in fact they created your civilizations for hundreds of years? You people need to get your head examined. You need to really reread history and find out who it is that's publishing this crap and who's telling you that there are all these Islamic terrorists and radicals. No, the radicals are in Washington, D.C. and New York. That's where they're at. You don't have to go to the Middle East to find a bunch of Islamic radicals. You can go to New York and find a bunch of Judeo-radicals who are screwing your country over royally and doing the same thing to Europe just for money, for the almighty dollar, to put gold in their pocket like they've been doing for centuries, and then calling you a bad name if you call them out on it. Moody said as recently as August that France, the U.S., and the U.K. probably will retain their top credit ratings as the nations work to cut their deficit. Well, I don't see the United States working to cut its deficit. Have you seen the United States cut its deficit? They just revoted to give almost $1 trillion in forgiven taxes to the rich. The rich who won't give you a dime, who won't go out and buy anything, they'll just use it to reinvest in the stock market, which when it collapses, and it's going to, will take every one of those dollars with it that they gave to those rich and powerful who don't need the money to buy anything. They can buy whatever they want. So they just put it in the stock market, and when that collapses, all that money will be gone. And then they'll come to you and say, we want you to pay that off. You know, your government borrowed that money so that the rich could keep money in their pocket and put it in the stock market, and we want you to pay for it. Well, I'm not going to pay for it, and I hope you don't pay for it either. You got to tell your congressman, we're not going to pay for that. You know, you've been licking the face of the bankers in New York for too long. You let the bankers pay for it. We're not going to pay for it. S&P said in an article published December the 1st of this year in the French newspaper Les Echos that the country deserves its AAA status. France's credit rating is susceptible unless the country makes meaningful reductions to its deficit, said Padraic Garvey, head of developed market debt strategy at ING Bank NV in Amsterdam. The nation's banks are the biggest holders of debt issued by the region's so-called peripheral countries, posing possible systemic risks, added Marcus Ernst, a credit strategist at UniCredit SPA in Munich. So there you have it. All these years of greed and hard work and of speculation and of your stupid 401k where you gave your company 50% of what these stocks were worth when in fact they were worth nothing. They were just paper. They were crud because you couldn't sell them until you retired, because you had to wait till you were 55 or 65 in order to get rid of them without having to pay a huge penalty. And so you were stuck with them until they crashed in value so that your 50% was lost and everything else was lost. And now you're getting ready to retire on a shoestring. Well, you've been fools. And you've been fooled by the best. But it was easy to fool you because the best owned not only the companies that you bought these stupid, worthless pieces of paper from, they also own the banks where they get their money for free and then charge you for it, and you've been putting up with that for years. And they also own the media, where they've been able to propagandize you and then pour their poison into your ear, as though you were Hamlet's father, the king of Denmark, and they were going to marry your mother. Well, they married your mother, all right, and your mother's just as broke as you are. Now, I don't like to be the bearer of bad news, and I'm not going to allow you to say that I'm the bearer of bad news. You've known that this bad news was here for years. You've watched it. You didn't need me to articulate it. You know that your 401k is worthless. You know that your investments are worthless. You know the market is too high that it's going to crash. You know that your government hates you and loves the banks who screw you over, who use usury against you when they get the money that they loan you for free. In fact, they don't even have the money. They just simply tell the Federal Reserve, I made a loan for $200,000 for this sucker on this bank. And they say, okay, charge them the interest. If they want to be a sucker and sign up for your money, charge them. We have no problem with it. You're our tribal buddy. We're all in this together making money. Grab the money from the suckers and take it. And congratulate them on their new house. You know, someday you people are going to have to wise up. You're going to have to take your country back. You're going to have to take your currency back. You're going to have to take the banks back. You're going to have to take the corporations back. You're going to have to pry it from the hands of the thugs who have been torturing you with their ownership and telling you how wonderful capitalism is, that the owners of these country or these companies are wonderful people, when in fact they're a bunch of mafia thugs who want to do you in, who want to destroy your country, who want to import people unlike you in here and to tell you that diversity is your strength, when there isn't one thing about diversity that you've ever enjoyed in your life. You have been punished by diversity. You've seen your neighborhoods inundated by people whom you will never associate with because you have nothing in common with them. You don't like it, but they're going to make you swallow it because they run the country and you have no power whatsoever. You stupid fools, when are you going to wise up and rebel against this and tell these people, number one, seal the border. Number two, deport the immigrants. Number three, get rid of these banks. These banks have done nothing but screw us over. Number four, make the people that own the corporations to unhook them because they got them through using fake phony paper money that they borrowed for free because they were of a certain tribe and they run everything in the country. Take from them what they've stolen from you. Deport them to Israel. Get them out of here. Get them out of your face. Take your freedom back. This is your country. It doesn't belong to 1 or 2% of the people to own everything, to own the newspapers and to browbeat you and lie to you about things, to own your General Motors and your Chrysler and your Ford, and to tell you we're going to sell you a nice 401k here. What they're selling you is a bridge that they don't even own in New York. You've been buying the Brooklyn Bridge and you don't even know it. Well, we're just about out of time. I'm sorry that things have gone poorly for you in the last decade or two, actually in the last 5 decades, so that you're going to retire on a shoestring, but it's just tough toenail. because you trusted these people, and these people were not worth your trust.